Welcome to the new season of the Dreams Portal, the podcast about dreams, dream interpretation, astral traveling, and lucid dreaming. Join your hosts, Ileana, Helen, and Abby, to talk about the meaning of your dreams. Hello, and welcome back. And now the conclusion of this episode about dreams with special meaning to women.
Oh. As women, do y'all ever have dreams of weddings? Like you're the bride or you're at a wedding, or do y'all have any of those?
Okay, Ileana, the floor is yours.
Javi and I did an episode on this on season one, in reoccurring dreams, the wedding that never happened. Mm-hmm. And starting at age 29, I had this dream that I missed my wedding for the most mundane and stupid and unimportant. As much as I am about not caring about the mundane in my waking hours, but I was always missing my wedding for this reason. The very first one, and I had so many of these through the years, God, including last year was the last one. So since age 29, for 24 mm-hmm. years, I've been having the same dream.
Wow.
The first one was I missed my wedding because I couldn't pick the shoes. And I was looking at a wall with shelves from side to side, mm-hmm. from floor to ceiling, of all kinds of shoes that you could pick. You name the style, the fabric, the color, the texture, that shoe was there. Pumps, sandals, wedge, pearly, satin, silvery, champagne, bright white. All the shoes were there, and I couldn't pick a pair of shoes, and I missed the wedding.
Wasn't the right fit for you?
None of them. None of them. A wall full of shoes. The last one, last year, it was like the wedding was happening probably without me. I guess they got fed up of all this year of waiting, so they throw a party. And I was like listening to the loud music, and it was a beautiful afternoon, you know, that golden light, loud music, party was going on. And I was so lazy to put on a dress. And then the dress was so ornate. It was like that ball gown with the big skirt, big, like princess-like Disney type dress. And I was like, oh, I had to put on all this and go out. But the party was going on. There was one that I almost made it to the door, but I didn't walk the aisle. So yeah, for all these years, that's a reoccurring wedding dream. And it's a big symbol for women because it is believed that that's the big day for a woman, a wedding day. Mm-hmm. I have had many.
I have to agree with that. It's like, yeah, I've had bigger. Days in that first wedding.
I had many through the years, but like I said, the repeating element is the mundane. That is something that is not done, that should have been taken care of, because what kind of bride doesn't have the attire all narrowed down like 2 weeks before the wedding? Seriously, you're waiting for the day of the wedding to pick the shoes.
Right, but now look at the symbolism of that. You weren't ready to step into those shoes. Mm-hmm. All those shoes there, you weren't ready to step into the shoes. You were a very different person all through those 20 past years.
Yeah, and it still didn't happen.
Well, not 2019.
So that was the shoes. Then what else? The dress. One day was the dress. Can you believe that? The dress. Isn't that the first thing? Don't you pick that up?
Fall in love with the dress.
Yeah. Since you're age five, you pick your dress again. It was like, I was looking for something modern. I look at the dresses also, how they change, because when I was young, I was looking for, you know, the slip dress, something very modern and simple. Sleek. And then last year, the big gown, the ball gown. But it was also big music, big party. It was big everything in that dream. So, yeah, that's a reoccurring dream. Like I said, we did an episode last season. Everybody can tune into that. But what are other reoccurring dreams for women? Losing a child? I guess that would be a big...
I was just
going
to say, Helen, how does that, you know, your grandchildren and your children...
I know when the daughters were younger, I would wake up, you know, panicked at the thought of, you know, having a dream, losing a child. You know, that was just such a big fear that it just, you know, constantly trying to take care of them, constantly, you know, are they okay? And they were good kids. It's not like they went really looking for trouble, but yeah, I would wake up from that nightmare quite a bit, you know, that something had happened to them. And it's, you know, it's one of those where I had to basically change the channel on it. It's like, no, they're fine. And just bring myself down from the fear and they're fine. My children are safe. My children are fine. I had to learn to, you know, switch that statement around a lot rather than living in that state of fear. With the grandchildren, not so much. Although one grandchild did, she's in high school. She was sharing a dream. It's with all the shootings that it's rolling over into her dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that's something in our time, we would never have fathomed having a fear that there's going to be a gunman in your school, but that's becoming so commonplace to them. It's rolling into their dreams.
True.
And it doesn't matter if it's a small town, a big town, and a Christian school, a public school, it's there. Is it a classmate bringing the gun? Is it a student? You know, you never know, you know, and it's sad to see children in that state and to remind them that, you know, I can work with you on how to turn that fear into you being proactive. And what would you do in this scenario? You know, in your dream, you're not the victim. In your dream, you're going to, you know, be the leader. You're going to survive. You know, it pained me to hear that.
Would you advise somebody to do that? Because I think things that are in the collective are things that you need to filter out. Because dreaming is also a physical function and it has to do with memory. So I don't know if it's something that is current events that is out there in the field, I will filter that out.
I think you and I are in a better position to filter it out. Helen, at our age, well, no, I would say you and I, Ileana, more, mainly because we don't have children that are in that situation. But once you have children in going to school, that's a forethought. You're dropping them off at school. That's a forethought. So now you take that worry into your dream state because your brain is trying.
That's what I'm saying.
Even though you're trying to consciously filter it out, it's a strong vibration.
It's a stressor that is happening in your waking life. It's not a dream that you had to decode or pay attention for some mystical meaning or some message.
Is it a premonition dream? Is it a fear dream?
If you start going through all that, am I having a exactly?
Yeah, that would be the thing. And, you know, that's just one part that, you know, the children are experiencing that I could not.
I wouldn't have thought
to be a child today. To be a child today and have that kind of fear—that's awful. That is awful.
Yeah.
So, how about funeral dreams? How do y'all take those? Like, you're attending a funeral, but you don't see who's in the casket.
I had a funeral dream in this house, in the house that I'm living at. I don't know if it was a funeral, but there was a hearse in the garage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So close to my car, it was a hearse. And that's another of those symbols that are in the collective, because funeral is always taken negatively. They're taken from the literal death as opposed to something that needs to go or something that will change. Mm-hmm. It's just the death, especially if it's associated to religious symbols or something deep in the culture. We discussed a dream of a funeral, of a wake in last season, even and I. So this was very, very interesting, that dream. And again, for the audience, they can go back and look at that interpretation of, there were a lot of symbols in that dream, because there was a widow who was mute. And it, widow in the age that you expect to be a, one of in the couple is going to go. But this widow wouldn't speak, which in the culture was very rare, because it's the person that everybody's going to go to. Yes. There's going to be conversation. And then there was this other person, very inappropriate in her appearance for the funeral, like the flashy makeup, borderline fantasy makeup, and things like, you don't show up culturally speaking. Funerals are a place of modesty, you know. You dress in dark colors, and even in the culture where I come from, even the flowers have certain colors. You don't send red flowers, you don't send roses to a funeral, or any flower of the color red. You don't dress in anything of the color red. It's disrespectful. So those elements in a funeral dream for people like us, I will take them apart and take it one by one. And why, I guess the most important question is, why all these elements are in a setting of a funeral? Is it because those behaviors need to change, will change, they are outdated? What is it that, that is in the setting of a funeral? So I don't know if I added more to your question or answer it, but funerals to me is just a setting, and you have to look at the different elements.
Pick it apart.
Funerals can also be an element of definition by exclusion, like one of my friends said, because in some cultures, people will pay attention to those who didn't show up in a funeral, and you're going to be remembered for ages, like the one who didn't show up, didn't care to show up for so-and-so wake or funeral. So what is it that you are missing or disrespecting, or what is it that you're planning to not make an appearance, or where is it that you are expected to make that important appearance, that checking the box?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know.
Yeah, but again, it's the cultural ingredient. What the funeral brings.
That's true. You got to look at it from your own perspective. Yeah, I would have, if I would have had the dream where some were dressed in typical funeral attire, and then there's somebody flashy, in my mind, I would have seen the situation as, it's, they're revealing what's in the inside. So it's being exposed on the outside. And I'm just able to see in the dream that these things, I now put, what are they called? Easter eggs. You know, when you're looking at a video, they say there's Easter eggs, right? I now look for those in my dream. If I'm in a dream and I'm traveling, if I look at my bag and it's a red bag, I know I'm awake, but because I have a red bag. But if it's a blue bag, I know I'm dreaming. I also look at my shoes, because I have red shoes in real life. So if I look down at my shoes and I'm wearing something other than my usual shoes, I know I'm dreaming. Because I don't know about you guys, I don't always know until I pick up these things that I'm dreaming. To me, it's another day. So I have these little eggs hidden around. So that funeral thing, I would have been looking for my Easter egg to see, okay, what's the hidden meaning here? That, yeah.
I like when you said the contrast between the person that shows up at the conventional, the expected, and the flashy, what's on the inside. Because it's in those moments that when least expected, that you can see people's true colors.
Yeah. Oh, see? Yeah. Exactly how you said it, like that, you know?
I like that.
So it's not whose funeral is this? It's who's going to show up and how.
Yeah, because notice the attention isn't to the person in the coffin.
Yes.
Yeah, unless...
And what is a coffin in Lenormand? The
endings.
Coffin is endings.
Endings.
So,
endings.
And that's another thing. All three of us are readers. We all know how to read tarot, Lenormand, and the other oracles, right? When I go into a dream, it is like I'm literally walking around in tarot. I just shared this with someone the other day. I go, when you're looking at a tarot card, you're looking at, is there a tree and is it bending with the wind? And what kind of tree? And is there a sky? Is there clouds? Is there water? Is it moving? I mean, you're looking at so many things. So when I'm in a dream, I'm looking at those landscapes.
Yes.
I'm paying attention. And that's why it's easier for me to read what's happening in a dream, because I read it as a reader.
That's a good thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, and you said the landscape. I remember somebody called me about a wedding dream. I forgot about this one. And in the wedding dream, this person that is telling me about the dream, everybody was dressed of the same color.
Ooh.
So again, this is not a dream about the wedding. And when I ask her, well, the first thing that you had to tell me is how many people were there and was the color. And the color, it was an earthy tone, not exactly like tan, deep tan, in big wedding. And the first thing that I told the person is, this is an easy one.
Yeah.
Do you think this is an easy one?
I think it's an easy one.
And here's why is an easy one. Weddings, like funerals, again, are those events where you're going to look who is showing up. Not how, because in the wedding, it's a celebration. And there is a dress code. In both of them, there is a dress code because the wedding have colors or whatever, or is either formal or is daytime. There's a dress code. But when everybody goes the same color in a wedding is an act. It's a public contract. And it's a contract that is in the presence of others, giving the signal that this is what these two people are doing. And that community or friends and family are there in acceptance or approval of that contract. And with everybody dressed in the same way, they're saying we're all in this together. And we are the same tribe. Not only we like you as a couple and as a married couple, we all belong together.
Wow.
Now we can take it deeper with the color. And the color being an earthy tone, it can mean many things. You can associate it to the chakras. You can associate it literally to land. We own this community, and these people who are entering this contract belong in this community too. We own this kingdom, or we are just a mix of many, and we are neutral in that shade of tan.
Or stable, stability.
Stability.
Yeah.
So,
grounded, stable.
So it's never about the wedding. Never
or
about the funeral.
That's true.
And who's the ones who are always noticing what the others, who's in attendance and what are they wearing? It's usually the female.
Oh, yeah. That is true. Well, the keepers of society. I had a coworker, my last job, that he said that to him, person of a certain age, that to him, women are the keepers of society. So yeah, they're going to keep tabs because they're the one. I know that people associate, well, they're the ones who gossip. No, everybody gossip.
That's true.
It's just a way.
It's just a what different about? Way of how they get. Yes, exactly.
But no, they keep scores. Keepers of society, because again, in starting the family, they're the ones who nest. We have the family. And then they keep tabs of things like that, who are loyal to the family. Because I would dare to say that women are less inclined to forgive disloyalty than men.
Mm-hmm.
They move on faster.
Yes.
But women, we never forget. We never forget. So it's, when you are record keeping, those things are important.
Have you guys heard of the, I think it's called the metal theory. Have you heard that?
You shared it with me.
Yeah, it was so interesting. A good friend mm-hmm. of mine shared this with me, and I don't know how, if I'm going to say it exactly, but this theory is that the reason why women are wired the way we are, so different than men in the collective, right,
mm-hmm.
is during the time when there were hunters and gatherers and all of that, the man just took the weapon and he went from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
He knew where the meat was going to be, where the prey was going to be.
Biology.
Right. They went and got it, brought it back. The
Survival.
Women, however, they were the ones gathering the berries, the harvest, the herbs, and all those things. So they, when they would go out, they would go around their community, right? They would have to come back and tell the other females, this is where the berries are that you can eat. This is what you cannot eat that is poisonous. So they were in a constant state of updating the other women,
yeah.
because she could die from being attacked by a beast of some, right?
Yeah.
Or she could die at childbirth. I mean, there were so many ways that women would die.
Mm-hmm.
So and they were constantly communicating. This is where you need to go get this. This is how you do this in case they died. Whereas men didn't have that thought. Men knew there's enough men. We're going to go get the meat and bring it back, you know? So it's a different way. It's a different way of being part of a tribe.
Well, they will die too, because not only they have to get game, they also have to defend in case of war, especially when there were
yes, but
tribes.
It's a different thing, and because they were in it usually as a group, you know, we're going to defend as a group of men. Women tended to go to gather these things off on their own, you know. Mm-hmm. They might go together, but they spread out, you know. So they had to know what plant was okay, what plant wasn't okay. And look that up. I found it real fascinating.
It is. I mean, you think about
it's
it.
Biology.
Someone had to stay and take care of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's biology. And they took care of the crops and took care of game and defense. But that changed with time. And yeah, things of biology still carry out.
Mm-hmm.
In these times, it's different. Our biology is upgrading faster.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see if somebody will be studying this. I don't know if
right.
they are.
It'll be interesting to see how it's upgraded.
Because now to go into the fields, you don't need that high level of awareness, because
right.
Agriculture right. is industrialized now.
Yeah.
And it's a job. It was not something, a task within the community.
So now I wonder, what does our gathering skills do now? How do we use those things now? You know, because they're probably still wired in us, but now it's got to be diverted into somewhere channeled. is a better
we're going
word.
to the grocery store and we're picking up the produce. And should I get this? Does this one look good?
It,
fresh and frozen.
Yeah, or, I still struggle with that.
Yeah, or social skills, because still humans are looking for a community or a tribe.
Yeah,
and go out there, yeah, in tribes or in packs. It starts in school. You start gathering your
trainers,
friends.
Life coaches. Look at how many life coaches have sprung up all over.
Yeah, and still are those who are going with that visceral thing of creating their tribe or being popular and influencing others the same way. Still, the high school mindset, still having their crowd, their group of friends. So those skills are still there. They're not so much for that kind of survival in biological terms. For some people, this sense of community survival. I know many people that the pandemic was hard because they saw the workplace as a social place. They get all their social interactions, especially if they've been in that place of employment for years and that was part of their tribe and been disconnected from that tribe. Did a number of them. It was almost the isolation, because they didn't have that with their families or they didn't have a partner or a spouse at home. Mm-hmm. So that was rough. That was survival. It was a thing of survival. And I saw that with women. I know there were a few women I work with that said that they missed work. They missed their co-workers. One or two of them, I knew for sure that they have family situations that were not as pleasant. As weird this sound, as pleasant as the environment, their social environment and connections they have at work.
It was a getaway to go to work.
That was
a getaway to from. But I also pointed out to a couple of the clients that were struggling with it. When we sat down and really talked, when we were really talking about this, a woman runs generally. She decides what's being picked out for dinner. She generally decides the running of the house. And one client in particular, and I knew to jump on this right away because I had this experience a long time ago with a customer where I used to work. Now the man is staying home and now he wants input in what's going on at the grocery store. He wants to go with, to go, and the woman is used to parking in a certain spot, doing things in a routine way. And now here comes this person who is kind of shaking up a routine that's been in place for a long time. And it never occurred to them to talk about it. You know what? You're home now. And I know you're used to telling other people what to do at work, but at home, now you're coming into my domain and now you're trying to do that here. You know, and now why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it this way? I've been doing it like this for 30 years and you're just now you're going to tell me to change it because you happen to be home due to a pandemic. So it was a great opportunity for, but that people didn't make the connection. You know what? We need to set ground rules.
Or go Instacart.
Yes.
And you pick the same brands, whatever. I'm a brand shopper because it's just easy. But so for women, again, dreams that had to do with the house, that's another thing that we haven't touched on, because the house is also a symbol of stability and safety, assuming that you are safe in your own household, which might not be the situation for many women out there.
Right. But the house is also a symbol of your own individual. When you see a house, sometimes it's not even your house. So when you see a house, it symbolizes your problems, how you're compartmentalizing each of your problems as you go into that house, you know. And is there a fence around this house? And, you know, all those things mean something. So a lot of times you're not actually in your own home. you know. True.
Do you have a garden in the house? What is the condition in the garden? Does your home in your dream looks better on the inside than the outside, or the other way around?
Right.
The house can be your physical body too.
Exactly, exactly. And what are the walls made of, you know? And I again, it's just like walking around the landscape of a tarot card. You walk in and you notice, wow, the walls don't go all the way up. They're only halfway, you know? So what does that say about you? Do you keep your walls up, or do you, you know, are your walls always on guard, or is it an open concept? You know, there's so much that you can break down.
You said this thing about the walls. It's interesting because I remember over a year ago, I had this dream that I had this kitchen, and the layout was kind of the country kitchen, which is so not my style.
Yeah.
And the remodeling looked weird because you see all the base cabinets, and there were modern, but all the wall cabinets were very traditional, very farmhouse. And I was like, what the hell? Why in the world is the whole thing wasn't done? Pick a style, pick a style, and but finish it. This thing of the bottom cabinets, base cabinets were one style, and then it was like building from the ground up, changing, renewing from the ground up. And again, it's not about the house.
Let me ask you this though. You said you had it a couple of years ago. Did you have that dream anywhere near the time that you remodeled?
No.
Okay. I was just curious.
No. It was a year ago. It was end of the winter, kind of. It was March last year. But the thing that shocked me was that why this is half and half. This is not a creamer, you know.
Commit to a style.
Well, to a style and do the whole thing.
It's not even about that. The kitchen is the heart of the house where you feed yourself and others. So are you only feeding people half and half? Are you only nurturing yourself half and half? You know, what's your style and how you nurture yourself?
Not completely committed.
And I had that year was dreams of kitchens because there was a lot of planning and meetings in the kitchen, which happens in waking life. It's like, well, okay, what are you cooking? What is it that you are preparing and creating? Because all this is happening in the kitchen. So for kitchen dreams out there for women is how, yeah, first will be how are you nurturing or what are you feeding your family? How are you taking care of your family or yourself? But also, what are you planning? If you're cooking, what are you planning? What are you preparing for?
Yeah.
It's not exactly about the meal.
Very true. Yeah.
So this has been a good conversation. I know that we digress in a couple of things here and there, but we're talking dreams and many symbols. And I guess recapping, the message to our audience is, for women, everything that has to do with our personal safety, no matter in the path of life you are in or you have walked, it goes to anxiety about our safety, emotional, physical, our means to make a living, and how we're also taking care of others if that is the life we have built for ourselves. And even if you don't have children or anybody who directly depends on you for their well-being or for their financial safety, we always take care of someone in a way. We are of service in one way or another. And that is something that is going to help in our dreams. So you ladies have any closing thoughts for our audience?
look, you know, just look closely. Look, as Abby said, look for the signs, look for the Easter eggs, you know, see what is familiar to you in the dream when you wake up. Take notes and it will come to you. You know, what did you need to take from that dream? The message will come to you.
I'm a big proponent of taking notes and sharing your dream with others, because sometimes somebody else, even though it's personal to you, what does it mean to you? Sometimes getting another party's point of view can really open it up. So, and the more you do that, I think the more aware you're going to be of your dreams. A lot of people think, oh, I don't have dreams. You have approximately 100 dreams a night. You know, it's just a matter of now the recall.
Yeah. Absolutely. Take those notes. And if you're not into taking notes, get that recording app on your phone and start building your journal of dreams, because eventually you're going to be channeling in your waking hours. So that's another takeaway. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your perspective on this.
Thank you.
Thank our audience. And until next time, sweet dreams.